Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
The gaffer's just said that he's going to put some beers on the coach in the plane.
Yeah. Rog.
Damon. Oh my God, Damon.
What are we doing?
I don't even know.
What is the point of all of this? Nobody knows the point. There's no point. But from the Men in Blazers studios and the crap part of Bedford, the crap part of Long Island, it's Men in Blazers Do It Live.
Oh, I'm just wiping the mud off the front of my pants, Dave. Oh, that.
Man of the match, the mud. Mud played well.
Blood, sweat and beers. Let's do it.
Yeah, this is our weekly podcast in which we do it live. For those of you GFOPs joining us here on Spotify Live, past midnight on the East Coast, start asking your questions in the chat right now. We'll pull you up on stage later in the show to hear from you. For those of you listening to this on a delay, smart. If you don't Spotify Live, do you even CONCACAF? The only way to actually participate in the pod is to join us here on Spotify Live. Can we get a toast, Rogelio?
Oh, we are going to talk a lot about the macabre Battle Royale, which we have just witnessed. We will talk about England. We will talk about Peru. We will talk about it all in the minutes to come. But I want to raise the first third bud of the day to the Socceroos of Australia, who qualified for the World Cup last night in a playoff, berating all comers by really parking the bus for much of the game and then hanging on to defeat the Peruvians 5-4 on penalties amidst delirious scene. The game went down to the wire. Australia subbed on A-League keeper Andrew Redmayne for just his third senior appearance at the age of 33. Came on at the 120th minute and became a hero. Essentially went central Gold Coast Tim Krul with a dash of Shakira thrown in. A dancing hero who jumped around on the line as the shooters ran in. Essentially looked like a chassid at a bar mitzvah. Ultimately just mesmerised the fifth Peruvian shooter, Valera, getting a palm on the shot, and became forever known as the Grey Wiggle, fruit salad, yummy, yummy. That's what he's known for across the world today. But he also did something which essentially takes shithousery to the next level. The Peruvian goalkeeper, as you now do, had instructions written on his water bottle for every Australian shooter. He kept it in the net, and at the first chance he had, Redmayne found the water bottle, palmed the water bottle, and as he walked away from the goal, flung it into the area in front of the fans, which led to the Peruvian keeper desperately spending the rest of the shootout looking for his water bottle. He didn't make a single save. And I raise this blood fam to the Socceroos, who played some grim football, but will remember only the joy of the shootout and the crazy like a fox madness of their keeper that delivered three. Oh, group stage World Cup games of wonder to come. It's dark. It's wonderful. Godspeed, Australia.
Oh, poor Peru. Okay, Rog, the game we just witnessed, El Salvador won, the US men's national team won. A game that was a discarded plastic chair away from being the most CONCACAF game to ever CONCACAF. Played in mud that will have left the players with trench foot. The home side took the lead when USA keeper Ethan Horvath got caught creeping like a creeper and leaving a massive gap at the near post. I don't know what he was doing. After a second half that was part football, mostly mud wrestling, Greg and the boys rescued a draw thanks to our old friend Jordan Morris, who flew through the air like a wild salmon at Pike's Place Fish Market to head home, a stoppage time equaliser. He's the highest scorer ever in the CONCACAF Nations League, Rog. And that's it, 1-1.
You know what? I think I'm the second highest scorer in the Nations League. If we look, we all are. You're listening to this podcast, ain't you all? You know, I want to say this up top. We say this when we win. The same rule applies when we lose or when we draw. Davo, just remind us. Well, this isn't a friendly, but let's be candid. This is a friendly. Davo, what is the first rule of friendlies?
You cannot read too much into international friendlies.
The only thing that are worse than international friendlies are Nations League games, essentially. There's real games. More,
because real there's games resentment. There's the real resentment when people are playing Nations League, except, by the way, for the US squad, who really seem up for it. They love a Nations League because I guess it's a major trophy.
It's just, I mean, it's a lot of bollocks. What's important is 160 days till the US begin their World Cup campaign against Wales. And this was a tough test on the road in a sodden San Salvador, where they hadn't won since October 2004. God bless you, Brian McBride and Eddie Johnson, for scoring in that one on the way to Germany 2006. And we were looking at Ethan Horvath getting a long-awaited start. That was a Chekhov's gun of a selection by Greg in the Greg goalkeeper roulette, and long and fourth straight start for him, loved by Greg, less by many people have to watch the US team. He had CCV alongside him. And, you know, none of this ultimately mattered. It was very evident early on, tactics, football, ideas, because, Davo, the field, I do believe in future generations, in maybe several centuries. What are you pouring for yourself, David?
I'm pouring a little bit of Chateau Lamothe d'Eau, Rog, a little cheeky white Bordeaux.
The only question is, why just a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's actually an entire tumbler, to be completely honest.
I have so much rum de sip, which is just guzzling. It's the only way to get through tonight. But if I do believe, if our children's children, this is the solace I take from tonight, when our children flick through their dictionary, if they still have dictionaries to flick through in like several hundred years' time, and they look at the word CONCACAF, I do believe there will be a photograph of tonight's game, Dave, just a bloodbath in a mud bath, that they will find. Was it not just from the off, just surreal, macabre, Squid Games ridiculousness?
Okay, the case against, and by the way, spoiler alert, there is no case for. There is just a case against. This was an entirely pointless game of football for the US to prepare to go to Qatar for the World Cup starting November 14th this year. It doesn't do anything to help Greg understand what's going on with this squad. It doesn't help them prepare whatsoever for the tournament. I don't even know that this helps CONCACAF. I don't think it helps relations between the two. It doesn't help anything. It just is a terrible game of football played on a terrible pitch that is just, it's humiliating. It's just not, it's just the worst. This is everything I loathe about CONCACAF and every reason why I'd love to see the US find a way to play at least the majority of their games within a different confederation.
You know, I have a feeling, Dave, that there was a method to the madness. I do believe that tonight was Greg's idea. When he's 2026 World Cup coach, bear with me here, he can choose wherever we want to play in America. And he wanted to test out tonight, if I want to play America's group games in a bog, in you know, North Carolina, just the clay bog. Let's see which players can play in bog. Does that give me a competitor? I played in Minnesota in minus 80 degrees. You know, yes, my players' testicles may have dried up and frozen off, but we got 3 points. So we've got to think about unique, and this is his genius, weather patterns. We've got to think about unique competitive advantages. And tonight, I mean, I think we saw who will step up in 2026. Are we to play it in hilarious conditions in a mud bath? But, you know, think of desert conditions where the World Cup will be played, do pretty well the exact opposite. And we had tonight's game. You thought Bitcoin was in the mud, did you, FOPs? This field was in the mud. And it was as if the El Salvadorians had asked themselves, How can we neutralize the Americans' greatest asset? They've had national cabinet meetings. How can we neutralize Greg's tight T-shirt and sneaker game? And I think they said, let's give him conditions that are going to make him not want to wear a box-fresh pair of kicks. And that was,
yeah,
it worked.
He didn't want to go anywhere near the sideline, Rog. No, didn't want to even attempt a bounce pass during the game.
Couldn't
he
do
just
it.
Wanted to keep his kicks clean.
Couldn't do it. He was like, man, StockX are going to be so mad at me. I mean, the mud looked like it was straight out of the Coen brothers' Prison Break scene in Raising Arizona. And first 10 minutes, watching the tackle slide in, knowing how injury-prone Christian Pulisic has been, I was just like, why would you even play this, man? You know, this is a risk with zero upside. Zero upside to play any of those players. I thought in the first half hour, why would you not just forfeit the game knowing what it was going to be? Forfeit the whole bloody Nations League and just give the 3 points to every team you were playing. Play useful teams in place of what we've just been through. You know, F off CONCACAF, F off Nations League. You know, what do we see? First half, Hadji Wright, God bless him, scuffed the one chance he had. I mean, I'm sure in his game notes, Greg Berhalter wrote Jesus Ferreira would have scored that. I think we all know Jesus Ferreira would have blasted it out for a throw-in. First goal in five games for El Salvador against the US came. What was that goal from the Michael Davis? Alexander Laurent, step up, you beautiful human being. What an incredible moment of football. But how did you understand the El Salvadorian goal?
Do you know, the only thing that was weird about it, because I think we call that a crass, right, Rog? It was a...
I don't know if we do. That was my rum getting hit.
It was a crass. It was a cross that became a shot, a crot, maybe. But it was the way he shaped up his body and the way he shaped up his head. It was going to be a terrible cross, whatever happened with it. And... I don't think the cross was going anywhere near any of his forward players at any point. So maybe it was a shot.
God, is that your thinking, dear Watson?
It was so bad. It was going to be such a bad cross. I maybe think that was a shot. I have no idea what he was thinking. It was terrible conditions. He lashed it in, went straight past Ethan Horvath's near post.
I got to say, it was a speculative shot for me. I think he meant it, an impossible angle. But when you look at it, it was quite incredible. He looked up. Reggie Cannon, God bless him, gave him a lane. I think he looked up. I think he meant every single inch of that. I think it was actually quite impudent. The way Horvath was throws in on his line made me think originally there was a deflection. There was no deflection. Mm. You know, from a defense of the pitch, three straight shutouts. So, but then there was this, and then I've got to say, I felt for Horvath in that moment. He had to wait forever for a chance, and then this. I mean, he must have just wanted to crawl up and have the earth swallow him whole, which it nearly did, let's be candid. First time El Salvador had the lead against the US since 2010. And I looked at that. I tweeted this. Might be time for the US, which is a team with uncertainty in many positions, might be time for us to pick a number one keeper.
Keep him there.
Make it clear. Give that person confidence. I actually believe his name rhymes with burner. And just eradicate one of the areas of uncertainty around the squad. There's too much uncertainty around this squad right now. Too much fluidity. Too much, you know, uncertainty. You can say you're keeping the players on their toes. You're also creating a certain chaos. And I felt like tonight we saw the result of chaos. And I'd love to move. We have so few games ahead of us. I would love to move towards removing uncertainty, inserting certainty, making decisions. And I did wonder at halftime, was this karma for us playing like minus 20 in Minnesota? You know, Alexi's mind was much more on, suck it up, buttercup. He's amazing, Dave. Suck it up, buttercup. You know, these elite footballers, who many of whom on that field are involved in transfers right now, big transfers, career-making transfers, and a World Cup ahead of them. Alexi, suck it up, buttercup. Stop thinking about your career. I mean, the moves they won in Europe, the World Cup ahead, there's a lot of... I thought the whole thing was reckless. Mm. A lot of talk in the Fox studio about Greg's obsession in this game with plan A and plan B. which Greg would have talked to them about during his pre-game broadcaster meetings. That's what happens. You sit down with a coach. He tells you what he's going to do in this game.
And then you just parrot it all back in your commentary.
did you see plan A? What was plan A and what was plan B?
Oh, they were very different from each other, Rod. So they were separated by zero letters in the alphabet.
That's good. Plan A was, I'm going to wear a raincoat. Plan B was, I'm going to unzip it and take it off and wear a red T-shirt.
Could I just say, because there's you said that I can't move on from.
Yes.
The earth rising up and swallowing a player whole, entirely possible in CONCACAF.
I know.
I mean, we would not be shocked if that happened, you know, in Honduras.
It was almost, I mean, in the US, in some of the fields we play here. By the way, CONCACAF, I want to be clear, is not about playing in Central America, and it's everywhere. It is when we play here. It's when we play. It is just how we approach the game of football. And by the way, when I was saying the earth opened up and swallowed the hill, that wasn't like poetic or I wish. It was like in CONCACAF, it can happen. It can happen.
I can see the headline.
US men's national team gained valuable point on the road despite central midfielder swallowed up by earth just before halftime.
He'll be back, said Greg Berhalter post-game when we find him. You know, Jesus Ferreira came on, Weston McKinney too, just back from long-term injury to have to come onto this field. I was like, really? I thought it was harsh on Hadji Wright, a kid that has had to grind his way back into this team from literally the abyss, the annals of football. Not a lot of service in that first half on the field, which was just an enemy of anyone who wants to play good football. And to be given the yank after that, I thought, that was cruel. And the US charged forward. Weah, though, looked mortal. Tyler was quiet. Musa tried so bloody hard, close but no cigar. Christian, I mean, would Christian not have spent most of the second half having his hair dye just pour into his eyes?
Very difficult, very difficult.
And El Salvador, for reasons we can only guess, were furiously cohesive. So many of these players, El Salvador League, or they play for Tulsa, or Las Vegas Lights. I mean, I can only think that this was a team hell-bent on being able to tell their children, you know, Papa played on the team that beat the eventual 2022 World Cup champions.
In front of 5,000 people in El Salvador.
Why were they playing so feisty?
I don't know. Maybe it was the mud. I mean, the mud and the rain makes you do that. Maybe there's something going on in geopolitics.
Trenchful makes you do crazy crap.
Maybe there's something going on in El Salvadorian US geopolitics that we're not completely up on. I doubt that we're doing amazing stuff down there. Seems unlikely. They seem to probably have a legitimate grievance. So who knows? So
God bless. Whatever it was, Areola didn't make it any better. Flying in, seen him given. Stu Holden didn't think it was. But Areola had the audacity to awaken Dr. Joe, who'd been asleep for 50 minutes.
Poor Dr. Joe.
I know, he didn't see it. So he just uncorked this piece of rules wisdom. It's always controversial, a red card and a close game like this. Then went back to sleep, and the game became a bloodbath, a knife.
Honestly, Ariel's right short leg was pulled up so high. I actually think that might have been why he was red carded. You know what? Fair enough.
For testicular exposure.
Exactly.
God bless. You get your balls out whenever you want, Areola. I mean, the game became a knife fight. Rodriguez got a red for last man tackle on a flying Musa. And really, the whole thing was such a farce. Tonight was the night CONCACAF regained its crown. Other federations, you think you know chaos? You don't know chaos. I mean,
no.
God bless us. In our region, we literally develop elite players. We agonize over it. We then develop them, and then we let them sink right down with the rest of us into the mud. There's something very gratifying about it. And CONCACAF is actually a reflection of life at the moment. You know, this to me, David, here's a big question. Was this game the CONCACAF equivalent of the Beatles' White Album, just like the perfect CONCACAF game?
Yeah, it was so CONCACAF-y. I did spy one plastic lawn chair in the background. A lot of ponchos. We need a lot of ponchos at a CONCACAF game. The huge empty areas of stadium. A couple of vuvuzelas.
We should market CONCACAF ponchos. We should put them in the Men in Blazers shop. Debo, get on it. I'd love that. Men in Blazers CONCACAF ponchos. I'm going to start wearing ponchos.
They have too many holes in them. Or they don't have any hole to put over your head.
I always feel better about life when I'm wearing a poncho. At Wiley99998 tweeted, the match just needs some lasers and then it would be a complete masterpiece. That is unbelievably true. Jordan Morris got off the bench late, leapt up to get his head on the ball in the 90th minute, like a salmon swimming off Mercer Island.
May have been the most significant thing that happened in the game, not because they drew 1-1, but Jordan Morris may just have reminded Greg Berhalter that he's around and he may be the number nine.
Yep. I adore that human being. The first American goal for him since that nasty ACL tear. God bless. God bless Stanford Messi and Greg Berhalter. God bless him. Got into the celebration, was like, let's go and win this. Let's go and win this.
I like this game.
If it matters.
I like this game.
I'm just like, really? You're going to reprimand and be like, come on, take him. Finish them.
Yeah. I mean, States.
Just like, oh, my God. The we must win this crap show. I mean, by the way, you noted Jordan Morris for when we play games only in mud. Also, as you noted, bless John Strong for pulling out that Jordan Morris all-time Nations League goal scorer stat.
I loved it. Love you, John Strong. We love you.
It's like hailing Everton for all-time Florida Cup most wins. By the way, John Strong, adorable human being, has the longest recoil from being excited of any commentator I've ever heard. Like, there'll be a moment in the box, he'll get excited for it, the ball will be hacked 50 yards down the field, but he'll still be like, the ball is like fizzled into a nothingness, but he has like a 7-second recoil.
Yeah.
I kind of love him for it. John Strong, any game watching with John Strong just like makes your nipples tingle an extra 12%, and I'm grateful. By the end, Greg had stripped down to his T-shirt. Dude most certainly had a pair of nunchakers down the back of his pants and some brass knuckles, and he wanted some. Foy Parisi in the chat says, no triple G BTBs behind the backs. That's what cost us. Yeah, he didn't want to unleash it. He couldn't trust himself in the mud. Did not want to embarrass himself with a behind the back, which just became a dribble, and then the ball just sticking in that mud.
It would have just splattered into the mud and not bounced.
It would have been like the worst Roman commercial of all time. Honestly, this whole game, Dave, was like watching chess boxing, where you're like, if you're a chess fan, you're like, that's not chess. If you're a boxing fan, you're like, this is not boxing. But at the same time, it was hard to take your eyes off it and just watch just the miserable agony and suffering and trauma with both eyes. What did it prove, though, David? Did it prove anything?
It proved that if we did a World Cup of CONCACAF football, which is a very different game football.
Different game.
But if we did a World Cup of if Honduras get awarded the World Cup of CONCACAF football, I think the US could maybe go to penalties in the knockout stages.
In the quarterfinals. It was honestly like watching I'm quite fascinated by SportsCenter's Instagram. You know, that hail brand that gave us everything that was excellent about pro sports is now just like two kids in Albania just like throwing themselves off a cliff recklessly, and you're like, oh wow, how's that on SportsCenter? But it was like watching two kids in Portugal who were really good at playing The Floor is Lava. That's what that game was like. It was like watching that for 90 minutes. I think the only thing I can take away, and I'd love to hear in the comments, bang them in, tell us what you learned. Let's talk about it. For me, I am going to officially downgrade the result of USA England from 5-0, which I thought was modest after today's results. Before kickoff, I'm going to downgrade it to a 3-0 USA win after this game. Two more matches.
I don't know if England will score that many. I think it's got to be like -2 at this point, but we'll
see. Two more matches for the US. They'll play them in Europe in September, reportedly against Asian competition. I think that all that remains, Greg is trying to negotiate for one to be played in a sewer, somewhere in sewer conditions. He wants to see how his team do there. And another in, what's it called? Where does shit get recycled? In like a sewage
plant? Like a sewage plant.
Yeah, sewage plant. We're going to play we're going to definitely, he's hoping.
Or maybe it may be in a forest fire of some kind to do that.
God forbid. But yeah, we've got to know how these boys do in a forest fire. I mean, it's important before we get there. But that was tonight, and it was weird. and it was Hawks. And God bless El Salvador. I do want to say that. I thought they were spicy. They were feisty. They clearly wanted to wind up any great elite American player. Pulisic's face, they were in it. Weston, when he came on, they were in there too. I did actually. I love watching Anthony Robinson, who has become quite a feisty enforcer, and I'm there for that. He was always there in every regard. But God love it. I actually was quite impressed in a game of nothingness. El Salvador brought it tonight in huge, huge respect.
By the way, Rog, World Cup 2022 just got a little more CONCACAF-y. Costa Rica 1, New Zealand 0. Los Ticos become the final team to punch their ticket to the tournament in a playoff win thanks to a third-minute goal from Joel Campbell. That's right, Arsenal fans, that Joel Campbell. Pura vida indeed, Rog.
JC is awesome. Early, early goal. Defeated both New Zealand and also the law of scoring too early. Holding on against a very game 10-man New Zealand who continuously had the upper hand, even a player down, but could not find a way past the ever-sprightly Keylor Navas. And the game was played in Doha's 90-degree heat. Slightly crazy that it was too hot for the tournament, but not too hot for the qualifiers. And big congratulations to Luis Fernando Suarez Guzman, the Colombian manager of Costa Rica. He's back at the World Cup. He first qualified with Ecuador in 2006, with Honduras in 2014. His Costa Rica will be there at 2022. Just do not hire him. National teams in his off year, but no one is better on an 8-year cycle. And the World Cup draw is now complete.
Absolutely, Rod. Congratulations, Costa Rica, Los Ticos. England 0, Hungary 4, a result that's giving US fans a lot of pleasure on Instagram and Twitter tonight. England suffers its worst home loss since Hastings in 1066, Rog, or at least since 1928, as they are humiliated by Hungary at Molineux, just an absolute drubbing. They remain winless through four Nations League games in this international window, but more significantly, the din of discontent is growing louder at Gareth Southgate's door, and we know the English media, when they get their sights on an England manager, Rog, it rarely ends well.
Yeah, a night of debacle and farce and chaos in England. The young England 11 spanked Aaron Ramsdale. A night to forget. England's first home defeat since 1928. Hungary won for the first time in England since their famous magical Magyars victory in 1953. England had all of the possession, none of the ideas. And Mirko Berlison tweeted, "The Nations League is pointless. It's just glorified friendlies. No one cares." Also, Southgate should be sacked. It's just not good enough. Mm. You know, they have not won in four games. Yes, the players are shattered, but so are Germany. We managed to get through the fatigue and punch out Italy 5-2 today. The game ended with fans bellowing, "F off Southgate, you negative bastard." You know, and also, "You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing." Graham Potter is apparently in their hearts and minds because he clearly does. How do you understand it all, David?
I mean, look, we go back again to the beginning of this pod. You can't read too much into international friendlies, but when you lose 4-0 at home to Hungary, this is a team, I think England beat them 4-0 during, was it World Cup qualifying or Euro qualifying? Just, you know, very recently, I think World Cup qualifying. So, you know, it's tough. I think, and this is maybe me being super positive, I think if Gareth Southgate survives this, which he might not, really? I think he might not survive it. I think there is a, you know, because when you really see the media, he's got these two games against Germany and Italy in September that I think are going to be very, very crucial. And I think the drumbeat, if they get humiliated in one of those games, which is entirely possible if he doesn't make some major changes, I think there's a possibility of it. You know, I think that the positive potentially is that this may have shown Gareth, despite the tired players, despite the squad rotation, at the very least, I think he's learned something that about some of his players, that there are some of these players, some of the players who are meant to step up, some of the players who are locking down positions, maybe like Calvin Phillips, maybe aren't quite good enough on the international stage, maybe aren't quite trustworthy enough. I think the other thing is he insists on playing this two-man pivot. All of England's quality
is with these front players, and England are starved of playing enough forward players, you know. And so once he's played two in midfield and five at the back, he really only has room for three players up front. Kane and Sterling are always going to play. It just means that one of Foden or Grealish or Mount or Saka is going to get a chance up there. And I think we may see a formation change for England. And I have a feeling that the double pivot at the heart of England's midfield, that is the great victim of these Nations League games.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. I mean, part of it is that there should be a World Cup now. Gareth Southgate should be the manager of the World Cup team now, but it goes on till November. And we've both spent enough time around the English national team to know this is what I'm afraid of. Once the English press pack has their teeth into you and you've lost their respect, it's almost impossible to regain it. And fans who want Southgate out, you've got to ask yourself, who are you going to replace him with? Because elite managers, they do not coach international football. However, 2 points, two defeats, one goal scored, that from a penalty with seven conceded in the last four games. Question is not who will win on Black Friday, USA, England, but how many they will. Really, how many England will lose by? Because I do, I'm upgrading myself to overly cocky, utterly confident. Just play for time for 1 minute. I've got to let Martin Scorsese out the front door. Hold on.
Yeah, look, I still think England are going to be a decent team at the World Cup, and I think they're going to be difficult to beat, especially with Declan Rice in midfield. Potentially Eric Dyer moving back into the centre-back role. And a slightly different formation playing in the game. I never thought I'd miss Harry Maguire. I actually missed him tonight or this afternoon playing for England. But I think it's going to be a different England team, a different England 11 that's set up during the World Cup. I don't think we'll see anything like this 11. I'll be shocked if more than three players who played today start in that game against the US. I think a lot, you know, looking at those World Cup matchups, I think a lot is going to depend on what happens in their first games, England versus Iran and, you know, the US versus Wales. And I think if both teams win that first game, I would put money on another draw between England against US in the World Cup.
I think we're going to smash them. Let's talk about the transfers and we'll take the questions.
Yeah, before we get into the Q&A, let's tick through some of the Premier League news and notes, including Tottenham, Rog. Yes, Tottenham taking the money they've saved on ketchup and other condiments and purchasing footballers.
Yeah, the big news of the day was watching Darwin Nunez officially sign for Liverpool. Just that incredible, incredible way, raging bull. God, the thought of him in red is makes me miss Divock Origi. Tottenham, though, are said to have agreed a $37 million fee for Brighton midfielder Bissouma, with advanced talks ongoing as Antonio Conte plans his midfield upgrade. He's also linked to Richarlison incredibly heavily, with Winks and Moura said to be coming the other way to half-ass away a season in blue. I honestly can't see it that Richarlison will go to a place where he's not an automatic starter. Mentally, that's not who he is. But we will see. But the biggest news filtering out of Everton is that former Manchester United and Chelsea chief executive Peter Kenyon is leading a consortium that are hoping to buy Everton. Reports have Everton majority shareholder Fahad Mashiri keen on holding exploratory talks with the consortium. I'll say this, and there may be more questions, but we can talk about it on Friday, if not in WGFOP, the weekend preview. There are a number of suitors for Everton Football Club. Post-Chelsea auction, a number of interested American parties were left unsatisfied by their inability to land a Premier League team. Moshiri, the Everton owner, really just a front man for his business partner, Usmanov, the Russian oligarch who was quietly trying to lobby the Premier League to make him the owner in name as well as just financially. And then obviously the Ukraine invasion put a scupper on that. Everton have to sell or at least take on massive investment. New stadia do not build themselves, David.
There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator. Stoke cold brew coffee, always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham fortress known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke espresso blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke cold brew coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage.
Okay, Rog, are you ready for the Q&A?
Let's get in there. Let's get in every regard. I'm going to call you up, tell us where you are and what your question is. But before we get to the questions, Duncan Lindsay in the chat says, I'm going to be bad at work tomorrow, but I'll always have the memory of this disaster of a game. We'll be bad at work too, Big Dunk, as we are always. It's just called a Wednesday. We have a ton of questions. We have two dog avatars, so let's get into there. Let's bring up the great Tom Freya. Tom, where are you and what's your question?
Good evening or good morning or wherever you get everybody
is. Is this our first ever morning television?
I think it's already July. It's already July.
This is my audition for today, the Today Show. In every regard.
This is Good Morning Football, but a very different version of it.
It's actually when we did Running of the Bulls, we did that breakfast show, and I drank loads of rum and chocolate at breakfast, and it was really quite bonkers. David, JDF told me we did a morning show that went bonkers, where we were talking about the Fulham Pigeons. Apparently we've been here before. Tom, where are you? And did I bastardize your last name?
No, that's right. I'm in Staten Island.
Yo, I love. That is definitely one of
Bong, like RZA says.
One of the top 10 islands in every regard. Staten Italy. God bless you, Tom Freya. What's your question, you
Italy isn't an island. Italy is not an island. Sicily is an island. Sardinia is an island.
Staten Italy.
Ischia is an island. Keep on going.
What's your question?
Well, I mean, if you take this as a legitimate competition or glorified friendlies, whatever, I mean, what are we supposed to be learning from these games? And
nothing.
Did we actually learn anything?
Nothing.
Did we learn anything from this performance at all?
No. We're not meant to be learning anything, and we learn nothing. That is all we learned from these things. There is nothing. There is no point to it. We just learned that CONCACAF continues to be insane. We learned that the entire international calendar is dumb. World football is dominated by club football. International football is an afterthought. We squeeze in games with tired, exhausted players who have to travel, fly by private jet and commercial all over the world to go and fit it in. By the way, these players are exhausted. This has helped us understand that most players are exhausted when they play in World Cups. It's why World Cup football is usually, most of the games are pretty awful. It's players are exhausted. International football is not as good as club football. I think that's the biggest thing we learned. If you need to be reminded, international football is not as good as club football. And
you know what? The US can compete. And the difference between else, honestly, here's one thing. The difference between the US men's national team's performance against El Salvador tonight versus what Germany would have done, or Brazil, or England, or France, or anybody else in the world is almost nothing. There is very little between these countries when it comes to single elimination games in a knockout stage at a World Cup. We're going to Qatar, for Christ's sakes. Who on earth knows what these conditions are going to be like? The earth may well, you know, rise up and swallow players in Qatar, and we'll be like, eh.
Yeah, but then they should have played on the side of Vesuvius to train. That's what they should have done with molten lava.
Southgate blows it again. Does not prepare his players to get eaten up by the earth.
I tell you one thing, Tom Freya, in every regard, is international football is insane. It's deeply unpredictable. It's hard to know, like, until you get there, how the team are going to do. Like the hotel and the setup, did they get too close to a city where they were distracted and were able to chase the intrigue of the city? Were they too remote where they were just isolated and bored and just bogged down in their own self-loathing? Like, there's so many factors that go into a good World Cup run, and you just like, it's chemistry. And there may be something great that happened tonight that we do not know. These guys may have played Settlers of Catan last night and just had an epic game, or Mario Kart or something unbelievable. And just in that great ping, they may have had a ping pong tournament last night, which was just so lols. And just Yunus Musa was so funny. You know, he put the bat up his down belows and just played with it and still won. And that was the moment that the team realized they could do anything and be anybody and just be new themselves. And as a collective, they could do anything. But as individuals, they were like, we don't know. And in the World Cup, there's always a role for the deep collective to go deep. So I just say, let's not read too much in. I thought tonight was a farce. I still feel like we don't have, there's too many open questions. Some of those open questions feel like self-sabotage to me. I wish we knew more. There's so much of this team that's a cipher. There's so much of Greg that's still a cipher. You know, the Greg sneakers thing I've thought a lot about since the Grenada game. Let's hold on to the Grenada game. 5-0, bastards. Come on, we can take the world on. But, like, I've spoken to a lot of people that do know Greg. And I've been like, is that Greg? And they're like, no, that's not Greg. So I'm like, is he speaking to a PR team who are like, dude, be more interesting. Wear crazy sneakers. And they're like, no, that's not what he does. That's not who he is. It's almost like he's trying to draw attention away from the players, take pressure off the players. And then I'm like, there's not a lot of pressure on the players. America right now is not really at a, you know, at a boiling 100 degrees temperature about these players and our US campaign for the World Cup. But there's something in that. He's doing something. He's got a philosophy. That's where his philosophy is, on taking the heat, taking the attention, taking it off these players. And I think the bet we're going to make is these are young players. Let's shake them up. Let's get them uncertain, chaotic, and then unleash them in this crazy World Cup where nothing's going to be a given. And let's just see how they do. I think he's going to, this World Cup, I've come to believe, was the equivalent of Greg Berhalter being given $1 million at a casino and saying, you know what, I'm going to put them all on red 32. Just, that's all. I'm not going to do any other gambling, pushing them all in. And let's see how it goes. God, it may come up. The number may come up and it will be magical. God bless you, Tom Freya, in Staten Island. We're going to bring up we only do real names here, so it's a joy to bring up the original, Bob Dobolina.
Hello, fellas. I'm in Omaha, as the Counting Crow said, somewhere in Middle America.
God bless you, Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina.
So my question is, because I don't think he gets enough love, except on the weird part of U.S. Men's National Team Twitter. Luca Della Torre, if he was a beverage, what beverage would he be?
Snapple. Sometimes gets forgotten about, but like who has not enjoyed a Snapple in their day? And it gives you a little bit of excitement, gets ignored versus all the major soda brands and all the other drinks, but I think he's a Snapple. Rog?
I know the person that invented Snapple, and he lives quite well is all I'm going to tell you. He lives, I mean, it's an incredible, if you invented Snapple, you're living an incredible life. So I can't go Snapple. I think there's only really one answer, Mr. Bob Dobbelina. You're going to make me flip and then an army couldn't save you. Why don't you behave, you little rugrat? I think it's probably Carabao. It's got to be Carabao, that sports drink that none of us have ever really drunken. We don't know if it is tasty. We don't know if it's not tasty. We don't know if it really improves your performance. We don't know if it doesn't improve your performance. We just kind of know it exists. We watch it when we can. We celebrate it when we can. We know it's got some big game moments. And it is what it is. You know, Luca Della Torre is a good player. We are also in every cycle as a player like that, where we like to believe there's something better than what we currently believe in. It's like our predicament. We are. I've come to realize I'm going to say something quite controversial that will disappoint a number of listeners. I'm not a big lover of magical realism in novels. I'm not. I don't know if you are. We've never discussed this. Do you like magical realism?
Well, I enjoy Kazuo Ishiguro. I like him as a writer. I think that's magical realism.
I like him as a manager of a national team.
A little bit of Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I like that.
I like him, but the Gabriel Garcia Marquez I like it is when he's like when he writes his true life histories of like the kidnappings in his countries or the. I like him as a realist. Magical thinking, I don't particularly. It's not who I am.
It's so interesting because you love Game of Thrones and yet you don't like Harry Potter.
Well, Game of Thrones is real history.
I know. See, that's how I feel about Harry Potter.
Game of Thrones happened. So I don't know what your point is. What are you saying? Game of Thrones is like, if you don't understand the Game of Thrones, then you don't understand how we got to be who we are.
Well, no, it's not that you don't like fantasy and you only like fact because. Believe me, anybody who knows you don't stick that closely to fact at any point. Yeah. But it's a...
True.
It's a... But yeah, it's interesting that you don't enjoy magic.
Can I tell you something funny about Game of Thrones? I'll tell you, this is quite an aside for bloody like 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever bloody time we're taping this. Game of Thrones. I went to the MLS All-Star game when it was Phil Jones and Chris Smalling were at the back for Manchester United. It was at Red Bull Arena. It's a long time ago, whatever year that was. And I went with Gifford Miller, who's a wonderful football fan, a great, lovely guy, wonderful human being. We went together and he was like the New York speaker or whatever, like the youngest New York speaker, or whatever it was. And on the way there, we got stuck in traffic. I didn't know him very well, so we're in a car on the way to the game. And he turns to me and he just goes, "Have you read Game of Thrones?" I didn't even really know what they were. And I was like, "No, what is that?" And he explained it was the books. The television show was years away from coming out. And he described it as what you've just said, the word fantasy. And I said to him, I just said, "I'm going to stop you there. I don't read fantasy." And he said, "Believe me, friendo, these are not fantasy." And he gave me book one. And I probably still to this day, other than having four children, it's the greatest achievement of my life, reading all those books, because I devoured them. I think life truth is in there. I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this, but I'm reacting to your use of the word fantasy. I don't believe in fantasy. I don't believe in magical realism. I think Luca Della Torre is our, as US fans, we are often guilty, and I'm quite fascinated by this. I'm trying to understand why we are. We are often guilty of magical realism, that there's always a better. We're great. We are great, and we are going to kill England and make noise in this World Cup and clearly win 2026. But like, there's always someone better than who we have in our starting lineup, who's playing for Heerenveen or wherever. Like, there's always like the next, you know, Richie Ledesma is the one who's going to be coming through and saving us. And, you know, Luca Della Torre, I think, is a good player. I think he destroyed Grenada. That's what I do know. Like, if we only play Grenada, Luca Della Torre is the anti-Grenadian. Tyler Adams came through with him. Weston came through with him. Hadji, who we probably will never see again, cruelly, after this 45 minutes. I hope I'm wrong for just humanity's sake. But you're asking for a reason. I don't think he's like... See, he's like the Mix Discarude, possibly, of 2022. Mix came through, seemed exotic because he played in a foreign league against Mexico in Columbus, the game that won us qualification to the 2014 World Cup. He came on late, did this incredible shuffle to set up a goal. We were like, oh my God, his hair and the shuffle, his football is incredible. We need Mix Discarude. Jurgen took him, never played a minute in that World Cup. then moved to NYCFC for huge money. We had him on, David. Do you remember we had Mick Discarude on Men in Blazers season?
Yeah, very well. I can still remember what his hair smelled like.
Yes, it was. What did it smell like?
It smelled like a form of hair product that was, you know, made by angels,
yes.
Rog. It was beautiful.
Yes. It was stunning.
He was the best smelling. Him and Patrick Vieira are the two best smelling men who've ever been on Men in Blazers.
Cool. Patrick Vieira honestly smells of... God, I think, honestly, when I go... Please, God, if I ever go to heaven, if heaven exists, which I don't know if it does or not, but I do believe that was the smell that will waft out of heaven. But we said to Mick Discarude, you were exotic. That's why we loved you. Are you not afraid now we watch you every week? Well, no, you're crap. That was our question. He hadn't yet played it. And he laughed, and we laughed together. Ha, ha, ha. And it turned out to be true. And Mick is a wonderful human being. I still love him. But I've got a feeling Luca Della Torre, please God, it fares better than Mick in the medium to long term. You're asking for a reason. We don't know what that reason is. But I'm guessing you think, like, is he better than anyone in that midfield pack? And I'd guess, other than if we're playing Grenada every week, the answer is no. Greg and the Mud is the new Clara and the Sun. That is the reality. Kate! Oh, Kate, are you there? Come be with us. Tell us where you're from. What's your question?
Can you hear me?
Kate, we always hear you. Even when you're not on Spotify Live, I hear you in the head. Where are you?
Rog, you are like poetry listening to you. I could just go to sleep listening to you all night long.
Kate, life is better without you.
I know the feeling.
Where are you, Kate? Where are you?
I'm in San Diego.
Oh, God, that's an incredible city.
San Diego. No one knows why they called it that.
It's an amazing place. It's a fascinating place. Such a complicated city. I don't even mildly understand. Are you from there, or did you just move that?
It doesn't matter.
That might be my favorite moment in all of Spotify Live ever. Jacobs, book it. That's amazing. What's your question?
I do have a question.
Yeah.
So, okay, I just don't feel like we have a starting squad that's solidified. What is your thoughts on that? And also, I'm just wondering what is Greg saying to these guys before the game? Do you feel like they're like lacking some heart and some drive? I don't know.
Those are two.
Okay, I think. Well, I had three questions.
Billy Eilish, Air Force Ones, high tops, guys. Yeah. What do you think?
There were three questions there, actually, Rog. One is, do we have I don't feel like we've got a starting squad. Do you? Two, I don't know what he's saying to people before the game, and do they lack heart? I think that the team has heart. I think the one thing you've got to say about this team of Baby Eagles is they do have heart, and this is a throwback to those. I would say great with a small g US World Cup teams in 2002 and 2006.
Love this, David.
Who played with incredible energy and heart and passion. And I think these Baby Eagles have some of that. And I think they do play with heart, and I think they do play with energy. And I've got the potential. I think they've got the potential to go and be those kind of players and to be that kind of team.
Agree.
I think the question...
If we let them, David...
Yes, exactly. So this goes to my second point. As to what Greg says to them, I think my suspicion is that Greg is complicating everything. That's my worry. This is my fear. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know what's going on. But I think this is a group of players who are willing to play with that heart and that energy and that tenacity and that fight that we need a US team to go and play.
Agreed.
But there's something going on behind the scenes. I just feel it from having watched so much football that there is something complicating all of that. Hence this goalkeeper decision that's not being made, this weird rotation, this rotation of players in and out who aren't of the quality of some of the players available to him to go and play. This sense that there's this group of people around US soccer who want like certain MLS players to be represented in that whole thing. And so I worry that what's being said to them is too complicated. But I do think these players have the heart, and I do think they have the energy, and I do think they have that. That's, I think, is their greatest strength. As to do we have a solidified squad, I think that, Rog, you and I, if we went down and talked about the starting 11 and the entire squad, I think that you and I, and this is very rare in the world of Men in Blazers, I think we would pretty much agree on every member of that starting 11 and every member of that squad. I think we'd be all the way down there. We'd have Churun and Dolo both playing. But I'm not sure that we'd agree with Greg Berhalter. And I don't know that he's there. I think there's a very evident starting 11 and squad for US. I think there is this big question about the number nine role. I think there is a question about whether or not you can go in with a false nine and not play a number nine. I think the game tonight really indicated how in international football you often need a number nine. You need somebody to come in and score goals. But I don't think we have it. I think we're close to it. I think we're getting there. My biggest fear about this US team is, what does Greg say to them? How does he prepare them? Is he truly going to allow them to go out there and be a disruptor? If this US team believe that they're going to go out there and outplay every team in the World Cup, including in their own group, and I'm not just talking about England, I'm talking about Wales and I'm talking about Iran. The US won't always outplay, certainly not for 90 minutes, all of these teams, but they do have the ability to outfight them, out-energy them, and outrun them.
Correct.
And that's what great US teams have done in the past, and that's what they need to do when they go into this World Cup.
But they also need to believe in themselves, and to believe in yourself, you need to know your hierarchy. You need to know who you are, and you know, to love somebody else, you have to love yourself. And I mean, the John Brooks thing is a self-inflicted
wound. Don't even start me on that.
By the way, I'm not saying have John Brooks be a defender. I think John Brooks is a complicated, thorny character. I don't think John Brooks is like, we'd like to project John Brooks as the veteran leader this team knows. Why is he in exile? I would guess, and this is a guess, there's a reason he's in exile, but our lack of knowledge, like there's an indirect communication here, and we need more comms. The team seem to need more comms. It needs to be, like, if John Brooks is never going to play again, let us know why. Let us know why he's not going to play. We need certainty, you need structure, you need knowns, and you need articulation. And right now, it's like, we need knowns. Like, tell us who our great midfielders are. Tell us who our goalkeeper is. I think the centre back is going to be up for grabs. There's some like intrigue about like the fullbacks and who will possibly be backups there. You know, the number nine is just a gaping wound, a gaping distraction. There's too much shuffling of cards and building. Positives moving forward, giving confidence to the collective, confidence to the individuals in this moment, I think is really, really important. And having said that, World Cups are crazy. It's a tournament of chaos. You know, right now we have a puncher's chance. The frustration for me is these kids are talented. We have a talented squad. We're talking about building to the 2026 World Cup. We give ourselves that out. We can do stuff now. This is a team that can do stuff. But the reality is, what they can't do, they're not gonna outplay their way into the quarterfinals.
They're not there yet.
No one is. It's not how you win international football games by constantly. Right. You don't have to outplay opponents. You just have to outwit and outlast them. And I will be candid. I've been very clear. I wish there was more certainty around this team. This team shouldn't be, for those of you who wear spectacles, it's like when you look at the eye chart, like you shouldn't be reading the bottom line yet. You shouldn't be reading the second bottom line. You shouldn't be able to say A, Z, Y, L, M. And the optician's delighted. Yes! But you should be able to read the first couple of lines of this team right now. You should be able to confidently say who, you know, the core of the midfield is, I would say we should know who six or seven of the absolute starters is, not in our imagination, but in Greg's mind. And I wish that was utterly clearer in every regard. We're going to blow through the rest of the questions. I don't know if you've noticed, it's bloody late. You guys are unbelievable in every regard. I will say American soccer, to Davo's point, have huge anniversaries coming up this week. You know, OG Dosisiro is Friday. Landon Donovan's incredible moment that just set all of our hearts alight against Algeria, who saw it and remember it and witnessed it. Mm. Even though it's fading more into history than we are perhaps prepared to remember, that's next week. And that style of football when we're not trying to blow away all opponents, but we do enough to beat them and prevent them from scoring, that kind of football, that collective football. Go for it this World Cup in every regard. Mick Hoagland, we're going to take the rest of the questions quickly. Tell us where you are and what's your question.
Fort Worth, and my question is, with our top three goaltenders all being backups, does Zach Steffen or Matt Turner need to go on loan and get someplace where they get starting consistent play prior to the World Cup?
This is a great question. It's a question du jour. You know, we have many great goalkeepers, but most of them are second string. What do we do about it?
David. Look, I think Roger's gone on record. I've gone on record. I think number one, we would love Greg to like select a goalkeeper to be the number one, to be firm about it. I think we've been pretty clear that we believe that Matt Turner is the number one guy. I don't know that he's going to go on loan. I think he's going to be too crucial. You know, really, Matt Turner is the number two keeper at Arsenal. He's not going to be loaned out, but I still think he should start. There have been a lot of backup goalkeepers who've done very well at the World Cup. You know, that's, you know, as long as they remain fresh, as long as they train very hard, he's going to get to play some, you know, some Carabao Cup games before before he goes. Aaron Ramsdale, by the way, had a terrific game at the weekend, a terrible game tonight for England. So who knows what can happen. I don't think he's going to go away on loan, but I still think that Matt Turner should be the starting goalkeeper in the World Cup.
Here's how I think about it. I mean, I look at more of the journey, and that is that Zach Steffen was our goalkeeper till he wasn't. He was injured, and then Matt Turner took an opportunity and thrived. I mean, my God, there was always a knock on him. He's a shot stopper. He's not great with his feet. We're like a vertical team. We need a great goalkeeper that stops goals going in the net. And the cruel irony of Matt Turner, because I want to be clear, I was a Matt Turner skeptic. I'd be completely clear. To begin with, complete Matt Turner skeptic. He won me over. He won anyone over. He didn't let a goal in. He was fantastic. And then he got suddenly cruelly dropped and replaced. We created this QB controversy. We didn't have... If it was on form in the international team for the US team, Matt Turner was fantastic. And, I mean, that's a reality. You look at Jordan Pickford. He's been terrible for Everton at times. And, you know, Gareth Southgate's constantly said, he's my number one. He never stopped doing that. He's my number one. And then down the stretch, everyone was like, Ramsdale, clearly the number one. And you look at it, down the stretch, under pressure, Jordan Pickford stepped up for Everton in their howling hour of need. And Ramsdale in Arsenal's wasn't a howling hour of need, but it was like a let's try and get fourth place. And he just evaporated. And God love, I do think a lot of Pickford's confidence has come from Gareth Southgate just backing him in every way. And I do believe it. In America, we have a new schema that a goalkeeper must be a starting goalkeeper. And I believe it's better if our goalkeeper is a starting goalkeeper. But right now, we're in a surreal reality where Horvath isn't, and Matt Turner won't be, and Zach Steffen certainly isn't. And so we're like, Sean, he's a starter. He's better than all... I mean, the reality is Matt Turner, as a US player, has played the best over the last couple of years. There's no doubt in my mind that Matt Turner is the bloody goalkeeper. And the only doubt is that we haven't anointed anybody. In fact, to be candid, we've created this controversy by taking a keeper who is playing bloody well and downgrading him. And so this isn't, I mean, I can only repeat what I've already said to answer your question. We had certainty. He was playing great. We then took him out and have created this uncertainty. It's time for certainty in every regard. And this new schema, like, oh, they're not started. It's obviously better if they are starters for their clubs. But I wouldn't anoint someone purely because of this new understanding that we need a starter. Okay, Sean, you're in. That's not how... It works. That's not how it should work. And God bless Matt Turner. should be the number one against Wales when we stick off this World Cup in every regard, unless something happens between now and then. Doug Sabour, tell us where you are. Oh my God, what a question. Tell us where you are and what is your question?
I'm in Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh, I love that place.
It's the best.
I'm fascinated. So there's an incredible diner that I'm going to look up. That I don't know if it's still open. I've not been there for 10 years. Like Johnny Neutrons or something. Is that a place?
Johnny's Luncheonette, still thriving.
Oh, thank God. That makes me so happy. God bless in every regard. Your question, whatever it is, cannot thrill me more than what you... I had one of the greatest challah French toasts I've ever had in that place. Big shout out to Johnny's. Doug, what's your question?
So you're a best-selling author here. Set the stage. What was going on at Dr. Joe's house when he was called on, cold called?
Oh, Doug, have you ever fallen asleep in class?
Once or twice.
Have you ever, like, just, like, completely been hungover? I'm not saying Dr. Joe was hungover, but, like, and it really passed out in class, and then you've been called on, and you, like, just see, like, John Hughes-style cliched slobber all over your trapper keeper, and you're like, what was just said?
Yeah, that may or may not have happened. I can't confirm or deny.
Is that part of the Doug Sabour biography? Then I do every time they call on Dr. Joe. I mean, they don't do Dr. Joe solids by calling on him early and often. You know, when you play in the NFL and you're a wide receiver, you need that ball thrown to your palms early and often. When you're a goalkeeper, you need that ball passed back to you in the first couple of minutes, get a feel of that ball. They don't give Dr. Joe the feel of the ball. They call on Dr. Joe in the 70th minute. Cutty's hog doesn't drink itself. And that's pretty well it.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Jerome Nelson. Jerome, where are you? Finish us off. Take us home.
Am I here? Can you hear me?
Jerome, you're here. We're all heavily inebriated. Go for it.
Well, I'm your resident half Tico, so I have to say congrats to the Ticos tonight. I'm happy that they're going to be in the World Cup.
Me too. In every way. How are you a Tico?
Oh, my mother is from Costa Rica.
Can I just tell you, I am so happy for Costa Rica. It's one of the most beautiful and wonderful places. And when I watched that tonight, I felt sad for New Zealand because there's so many Kiwis that I love in every way. And I do think that Starstruck on HBO, at least the first season, is one of the best I've seen, most refreshing in a long time.
But terrific show.
HBO Max does not get you a World Cup place. And I'm delighted for Costa Rica. I just know what a World Cup will do for that place, joyously, wonderfully. And I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your mother in every regard. Where Dave, are you, by the way?
I'm in Denver. I'm in Denver.
I love you for that. Yeah, home of the great Haran. Let's do it, David.
Absolutely. All right. Speaking of, you were talking about nipples tingling earlier with John Strong's.
John Strong!
When he does the halftime,
even if it's been a terrible game, he's like, okay, let's do it. 45 over! 45! He does that thing.
Thrilling! Thrilling!
Amazing.
So good.
He sent me from 0 to 60 on a nipple tingle scale when he said it's CONCACAF after dark.
Yeah.
I want to know, Dave-O, if
I heard
produced,
it.
If that was produced by Embassy Row, tell us what would it look like? And I don't know, is it scripted? Is it full reality? Does it start with a sinkhole?
Oh, where do Jerome, we go? I love you. You've really come down my alley with this question. CONCACAF after dark would involve a lot of plastic lawn furniture, a lot of ponchos, a lot of rain, a lot of very bouncy pitches, questionable refereeing decisions. There would be no VAR whatsoever. You could never do a replay of anything that happens in the broadcast. John Strong, I'd like to think, would be a heavy part of CONCACAF After Dark.
It would just be
odd. The musical performances, I don't know, maybe a lot of Pitbull on CONCACAF After Dark. I don't know who else would be there. A lot of Big Sean. Would that be a big CONCACAF artist? I have no idea who the people would be. But it would be a bizarre broadcast.
I think you might be hitting a little high with those artists for CONCACAF After Dark, maybe.
Did we not just watch CONCACAF After Dark? Was that not just
one? No, it wasn't.
Together?
That was just CONCACAF football. CONCACAF After Dark would be the entertainment show that would go on after that CONCACAF football. It would be truly crap, but I would be so there for it.
I mean, the part of tonight's game no one's talking about is that the players were having to literally move what I'm assuming were live wires before taking corners. And I just think, sometimes I think football can't be improved. But then I watch that, and that notion, like, yes, good news, you got a corner. Bad news, you have to move a live wire. And one out of 1,000 of those live wires is going to end you. How badly do you want that corner? I just think it's just an incredible, only in CONCACAF invention that's being tested out for the rest of football across a soaking wet ground in every regard. So I just like CONCACAF, we laugh at sometimes. CONCACAF, I think, is pathfinding in many ways in terms of entertainment for football. Football is bread and circus. And tonight we had a lot of circus, a lot of bloody circus. The one line I do want to repeat from the top, I'm going to repeat it at the bottom. Let's not read too much into this. I want to be clear. When we beat Grenada 5-0, do not read too much into that. Do not read Jesus Ferreira's, no, to me, no clearer the number 9 starter against Wales after that than Hadji is not tonight after that mud bath, ridiculous, farce, chaos. And this is just a lot of madness. Believe just as much as you did before this game as you do after. You know, believe there's a lot of things are not perfect. World Cups are not perfect. This is going to be the World Cup of absolutely not perfect. All these teams flung into a tiny region, just a deeply artificial World Cup in every regard. Believe deeply, we still have a chance of doing remarkable things. There's also a chance that Iran and Wales are going to be the two teams that get out of our group stage. I hate that idea. I hope I'm wrong. But please, let's not fret about these. This is utter misdirection. I think ultimately tonight, this is what I'll say. Tonight was football as devised by Ricky J. This was when you're doing a close-up card trick, which is what the World Cup is. You have to set up the card trick with complete misdirection. And tonight was the Ricky J. And the Grenada game was Ricky J, complete misdirection. What we've witnessed over 180 minutes together was just setting ourselves up for the final card trick that Greg Berhalter is going to play. So let's not read too much into tonight. Let's not read too much euphoric into the 5-0 desecration of Grenada, that nation of 121,000 human beings. Stay the course, stay chill. Cannot wait for the World Cup. Love this team. Love the talent on this team. Believe in these young players. Let's go to bed, David.
Absolutely. That is it for our Spotify Green Room. Late night. Green Room after dark. Spotify Live after dark. Rog, quick shout out for a new episode of the Women's Game presented by Paramount Plus. That new pod with the Portland Thorns, Becky Sauerbrunn, and Racing Louisville's Dr. Nadia Nadim drops Thursday. You're back with WGFOP Friday. And a reminder to all listeners to call in your questions to Rog at 646-450-9472. Again, that's 646-450-9472. You can use that same number to call in your questions for Tyler Adams. Rog, you're taping with him again next week for the next episode of Tyler Adams Road to the Cup, powered by VW. Until then, can we get a toast, Rogelio?
We can. The pre-toast is it's my wife Vanessa's birthday. Well, it started an hour ago, an hour 15 ago, and I'm here with you, dear GFOPs. But I love you, Vanessa, you incredible human being, for tolerating crap like this. And I want to raise this Jägermeister, this shot of human emotion in a glass, to Tobin Heath, who Jeff Kasuf reported tonight is headed home 19 months after being acquired her rights by Racing Louisville. They've traded them to OL Reign, and with Kim Little and Rose Lavelle already on that squad, God bless. The prospect of that trio is just a Reign that is going to be Nutmeg City. Welcome home, Tobin, you great American. Let's end this, Dave.
Beautiful. Rog, Vanderpunkt.
War pig.
Was that a Rabona?
I like snacks.
Bulls win, Bulls win.
Take that, Gloria.
Bulls lose.
To Matt Turner.
Abrigado, rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fine America. Love you, Dave.
Love you, Rog.
And respect tonight to El Salvador. Magnificent. Courage. Happy birthday, Vanessa, you beautiful human being.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.